Philippians chapter 4. You'll find your way to verse 6. This will be the passage that we give our attention to this morning. Philippians 4, 6. I'm going to ask those who are willing and able to, if you will stand with me, please, as we observe the reading of the Holy Word of God. Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." All right, let's pray. I'm going to ask Brother Mark, would you lead some prayer this morning, please?
Lord, we thank you for this day and all you've done for us. We thank you for Christ and died for us. We thank you for these people that are gathered together to honor and worship Him. We pray that each heart will be open to your word and
yes.
Make us thankful for all the things you've done for us. Lord, we pray for all your churches everywhere that
yes.
We might all be faithful and true to you till Christ comes. We pray that His coming might be seen in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, please be seated, please. Thanksgiving is celebrated by a lot of different events, not the least of which are parades. In 1924, they held the first Macy's Parade in New York City. And it's been televised now for several years by NBC. Also in 1924, the American Thanksgiving Parade began to be celebrated in Detroit. And there have often been many other parades in different parts of the country celebrating Thanksgiving. Then there are the football games that are often associated with Thanksgiving. And the National Football League actually played games on Thanksgiving Day since its creation, except for during the years of World War II. And the Detroit Lions have hosted a Thanksgiving game beginning in 1934 to 1938, then they took a break because of the war. Then after the war, they started up again. 1966, the Dallas Cowboys started hosting their Thanksgiving games as well. Just about every sports venue has something associated with Thanksgiving, whether it's basketball, golf, or racing. Some association with Thanksgiving. And then there's the World Championship Pumpkin Tossing celebration as well. And this also started in Delaware. And the World Champion Pumpkin Chunking Contest is what they called it. And they would have the contest the first part of November. And they would record it. And then the Science Channel would show it on Thanksgiving Day. However, in 2010, they had an unfortunate event took place, and apparently one of the pumpkins smacked somebody when they tossed it, and they became embroiled in legal problems. And so they quit. They had to quit the championship of pumpkin chunking. However, in 2019, Illinois took up the World Championship Pumpkin Chunking Contest, and they held it for that year, but it was such a financial disaster that they never held it again. Not much money to be made, I guess, in the championship of pumpkin tossing. And it's not going to become, I guess, a tradition of Thanksgiving. One of the iconic things of that we do in America is our president pardons a turkey. As this was actually started in 1989 with George H.W. Bush
Well, let me take it back. It didn't start then. He made it a permanent tradition in 1989. It had been going on off and on for years before that. But H.W. Bush made it a tradition at that particular time for the presidents. And then, of course, associated with Thanksgiving is Black Friday. You know, all the sales come out and everybody gets excited about Black Friday and saving money on these great deals. And these are all fun and lighthearted ways that our country celebrates Thanksgiving. But they ignore, I believe, the heart of the issue, which is giving thanks to our Heavenly Father. And they have actually drawn away, I believe, these events have drawn away from the true meaning of Thanksgiving. And as a matter of fact, I think that's Thanksgiving, because of these things, because of the competition of all these things, the true meaning of Thanksgiving has become secondary. Even if it rates that high on the scale in people's mind today. In my opinion, most people in our country give very little thought to God on Thanksgiving. And most of the time, if God's name is even mentioned on Thanksgiving, it's simply perfunctory. Psychologists tell us that there are wonderful benefits to being thankful, and that thankfulness makes you feel light, and it creates positive emotions, and you enjoy good experiences, and it improves your health, and it helps you deal with adversity, and it helps you build strong relationships. And I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. There's this guy, I don't know if I can pronounce his name correctly, Murali Doraiswamy. It's as close as I can get to it. He's a professor at Duke University. But he made this statement. He said, if thankfulness were a drug, it would be the world's best-selling product with a health maintenance indication for every major organ system. His point is that thankfulness, period, would help you in your physical condition, improve your physical condition. And the point I'm making is that thankfulness in and of itself today is viewed as something that can help you physically and help you mentally, help you emotionally. And again, I don't doubt those things, but we're making thankfulness a god in and of itself. It's another drug. It's another pill. It's another shot. It's another vaccination against depression and anxiety. And I know that people are going to, some people, they're going to rail against me because it sounds like I'm putting a downer on the power of Thanksgiving. But I have to tell you that God is not pleased with leaving him out of Thanksgiving. He's not pleased with that. And secondly, I have to tell you that what they are experiencing is not real. It's merely an illusion. I'm not saying it doesn't have these benefits, but it's a diversion. And it's going to be eternally disappointing to them, to having left God out of Thanksgiving. Satan is going to do everything he can to deceive people into believing that they don't need a Savior. And he's going to do everything he can to calm their fears, even through things like Thanksgiving. The problem is not a lack of happiness. The problem is that they don't have a relationship with Almighty God. Now, if you believe that you are the result of an evolutionary process, then happiness and pleasure are going to be your goals in life. And the only means to that is going to be through sin. Truly. On the other hand, if you believe you've been created by God and you are a child of God, then your supreme goal in life is going to be to worship God. And a means to your worshiping of God is going to be giving thanks. And that's what we're going to see this morning in our lesson from the Apostle Paul. You say, well, why are you telling me all this stuff? Because I want you to have the best, greatest Thanksgiving you've ever had in your life. I want you to have the real deal when it comes to Thanksgiving. So let's take up our lesson this morning. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. He's in some circumstances here that are difficult circumstances. He's in jail as he's writing this letter to the Roman church. He's been in jail for 2 years in Jerusalem and now approximately 2 years in Rome. And I want you to go back to chapter 1. I want you to note something in chapter 1 as Paul writes this letter to the Philippians. I want you to notice something in chapter 1. Look at chapter 1, notice verse 7. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment, go down to verse 13. So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ, verse 14, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord, because of my imprisonment, have far more courage. Verse 17. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Over and over, Paul starts his letter and says, I'm in jail. You know, he doesn't want them to. It's not that they don't know it. They already know he's in jail. But to Paul, it's important for him to make them understand it, because it's going to have a bearing on the things that he's going to tell them. There's nowhere worse place you can be than to be in prison. And Paul was awaiting a decision, a life or death decision from Caesar. Paul wasn't in jail on some petty offense. This was a life or death situation. So what is it that Paul is thinking about while he is sitting in jail, while he is waiting his fate? Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Notice what it says in verse 3. Let me catch up with you. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. One of the first things out of his mouth is that he begins to thank God, and he thanks God for them. Like I've already pointed out to you, they already knew he was in jail. They knew exactly where he was. They knew what was going on. They knew he was in jail. And in ordinary thinking, they had to be thinking to themselves, Paul, you're in jail, but why aren't you bemoaning and why aren't you moaning about your terrible circumstances? They knew that by ordinary standards, Paul should be complaining. Paul should be griping. Paul should be whining about how unfair that he had been treated. They don't do any of that. The only reason Paul was in jail because he had faithfully preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had preached the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of all mankind. That's why he was in jail. That's where he had preached Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why he was in jail. And you know what, beloved? We better start taking note of this passage of Scripture. Because I'm telling you, maybe next year, if things keep going the way they're going in our country, there may be more and more of God's people and perhaps more and more of God's preachers who are preaching the truth, who are going to be preaching from the same place that Paul was preaching. And don't think that it can't happen overnight. It can. It can. We need to get ready. We need to get ready. We need to be like Paul. We need to have Paul's mentality. So where's Paul's mind? Well, obviously, his mind is on the Lord. He says, I'm giving thanks to God for you. His body is in jail. He's uncomfortable. He's miserable. He's lonely. But his mind is on God. And when our mind is on God, God is in control
of our mind. And I cannot express to you how vital that is to our ability to be thankful in all circumstances of life, no matter what they are. This distinguishes, I believe, Christian thankfulness from the world's idea of being thankful. Genuine thankfulness finds its source in the source of all things. And that one thing is God. God never intended for thankfulness to stand alone. He never intended that. But that's the kind of society, that's the kind of world. God never intended for God to think that there was no source for the blessings that people have today. It's an affront to God. It's an affront to Him that people can merely be thankful, and not attribute what they have to God. It's an affront to Him to be thankful without recognizing God as the source of our blessings actually is idolatry. God demands that we thank Him for the blessings that He bestows upon us. Everything we have, we need to be thanking God for. If somebody gives you a gift, if you give somebody a gift, you invest in this gift, you think about this gift, you spend your money on this gift, you spend your hard-earned cash on this gift, and you give it to somebody, and you watch them turn around and give thanks to somebody else for the gift that you gave them, is that not offensive to you? Would that not hurt your feelings? Knowing that you gave the gift, but they are giving the credit and the blessing of the gift to somebody else? That's what we do when we leave God. It's an insult. It's an insult to God, just like it would be an insult to you. And people are running around all over our country today with thankful hearts for what they have been given, but they ignore the giver. It is a slight against Almighty God to do that. So one of the first things that God's going to lead us to do when our mind is upon Him is to be thankful. And I think that's why it's one of the first things that came out of Paul's mouth. His mind was on God, and the Holy Spirit led him to a spirit of thankfulness. Now let's pick up our verse. Now that we have the background, let's pick up our verse 6, chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Paul says that our prayer and our supplication is to be made with thanksgiving. The word prayer, according to the Expositor's Bible commentary, denotes the petitioner's attitude of mind as worshipful. Prayer, he says, is an act of worship. When we pray, we need to have an attitude of worship. Paul is really connecting the dots here. He's showing us how he himself worships God even though he is in prison at this particular time. He prays. He sees his prayer as an act of worship. And part of that worship prayer involves giving thanks. And so we give thanks to God. We are actually worshiping God. Worship involves seeing the benefits and blessings of God. Worship includes being conscious of the blessings of God. You know, I believe God wants us to enjoy what He gives us. I really believe that. But I think He wants us to see, I know He wants us to see, that what we have and what we are enjoying is from His hands. He wants you to know that you have been blessed by Him. That you have been blessed by Him. God gives us everything as an avenue through which we can worship Him. Everything we have is an avenue. God never gets tired or weary of you thanking Him for the same things over and over. God never gets tired of that. There's a sense in which if God gives us another day of life, everything we have is new again, including our possessions. If we get to live another day with the things that God has blessed us with, God doesn't tire of you coming to Him that day and saying, thank you again for what you've given to me. Doesn't weary Him. Doesn't weary Him at all. It shouldn't, of course, be just that one day that we're thankful to God. But as we've heard over and over again, every day we need to be thanking God. And there are a lot of different ways to do this in prayer. There's the Matthew chapter 6 way of thanking God, where Jesus Christ tells us to go into our closet. When we're alone with God in the closet, we pray to Him. We thank Him when we're alone. I think the second way we can be thankful is we come to church and we share with each other the blessings that God has done for us. It's a public acknowledgement of the gifts and the blessings of God when we come together and when we pray together and we fellowship together and we share what God has been doing with us throughout the week. I think there's a third way that we could be thankful as well. And I think that David is an example of this. Some scriptures I want to share with you. David said, come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what He has done for my soul. Come and hear, he says. And then in Psalm 71, he says, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God, and I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. David is doing this in public, not just within the sphere of his friends, not even just within the sphere of his family. He says, I'm going public with all the ways that God has blessed me. And I think there's a sense in which, yes, you and I, we need to be very public. Very public. You say, even before sinners, even before the lost and the unbelievers, sharing what God has done for us. Yes. Even going out into this world in which we live and being public with the fact that God has blessed me. You say, well, they're going to roll their eyes. Let them roll their eyes. You said, well, you know, they're just going to write me off. Well, let them write you off. But you share publicly with the blessings of God. David was never ashamed to proclaim what God had done for him. And we don't need to be ashamed either in the world in which we live today. Sharing with people what God has done for us on a public scale. Then Paul goes on, he says, not only is he praying with thanksgiving, he's making supplications and he's encouraged them. I think Paul is practicing what he preaches here. He's encouraged them to make supplications with thanksgiving. You say, what are supplications? Well, they're prayers that express your needs, your hurts, your pains, your desires. He says, all these things are to be made with supplications. When you're in sorrow, when you're being persecuted, when you have fear, when there's confusion in life, when there's grief, when there's depression, when there's frustration, you express those things to God. But Paul says, we do those things with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. If there's anyone who had needs, who had supplications, expressions of pain and suffering, it was the Apostle Paul. He knew very well this area. Let me share with you something that he wrote. He said, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked a night and a day. I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Does anybody here want to trade places with Paul? We moan, we groan, we gripe, we complain. Listen to what Paul went through. We think we have it tough. Paul said, I was beaten without, I don't know how many times I was beaten. 5 times they gave me 39 lashes. 3 times they beat me with rods. Seriously, Paul? Does anybody here really, really, really want to trade places with Paul? Because you got it so tough, so hard. What did Paul do? What do you think Paul did when he went through all this stuff? He made supplications with thanksgiving. The only thing that kept Paul from the insane asylum was the fact that he could go through these things and he could find something to be thankful for. It's amazing. But that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Even though his need and his suffering was great, he never lost sight of something to be thankful for. Every time he offered up a supplication or a need, he offered it up with thanksgiving. That's the only thing that kept him from going crazy. From jettisoning his faith, maybe. I quit. No. He knew God was faithful. He knew God was still working in his life. He could see the blessings of God in his life through it all. He knew God was there. Paul's life was torturous. Suffered many things. But I think we can learn from him that when we're depressed, when we're struggling, when we're frustrated, when life is difficult, not going like we want it to go, disease, sickness, doesn't matter, death, misery, there's a place to be thankful. Something to be thankful for. This is what Paul is saying. He says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. And this is an example of everything. To give thanks in that situation, in those circumstances. Paul didn't just focus on the need. And that's sometimes what we do. We get all caught up in our needs and our difficulties. We forgot, wait a minute. God is talking to us and He's saying, wait a minute. That's not all there is that I've given you. I've given you something to be thankful for. What did Paul say? Go back to verse 3. Interesting verse. Verse 3 is interesting. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Isn't that odd? It was the memory of them that Paul looked at and remembered what God had done in the past, and he made it a present thanksgiving. He looked in the past and he made it a present thinking. Maybe you're looking at your situation in life and you're saying, well, man, God, I don't know. I'm really looking at my life now. I'm looking at all aspects of my life. It's looking pretty bad, pretty grim right now. I don't know, God. You can look back. Paul said, in my remembrance of you, I saw God working. You can always look back. If you maybe you're so blind right now and the tears are flowing from your eyes right now and the sorrow is so great right now and the grief is so right now, great so right now that you can't see much right now, but you can always go back into the past and see God has done and see how faithful God has been. And it will always well up within your heart a desire to thank Him, to praise Him, to give Him thanks. Paul says, I look back. And it serves as a present attitude
of thankfulness to quell your fears, to quell your sorrows, to quell your difficulties. To be thankful without recognizing God as the source of your blessings is idolatry. If our minds are on God, one of the first things the Holy Spirit is going to do is lead you to be thankful. Thanksgiving should be an everyday event. Every day is a new day of thanksgiving for the things that God has given us. Be public about your thanksgiving. Proclaim it to everybody that's around you. The goodness of God. They may not like it. They may not appreciate it. But some will. Some will. And everything we have is a blessing through which we can worship God and be thankful. And when we are suffering, when we are hurting, when we are in need, we can come to God with it, but also realize that somewhere in there is a blessing, something to be thankful for. And finally, none of this is possible without a relationship with God, which is only possible through Jesus Christ's death on the cross for your sins. There's nothing wrong necessarily with wanting to be happy or joyful or content or even being fulfilled. Those are desires that God gives us. And while there's a sense in there which there may be a benefit to just, quote, being thankfulness, you'll never really be fully satisfied without recognizing the source of that thankfulness. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins to give you eternal life. I'm going to ask Brother R.D. to come. He's going to help us with an invitation this morning. God the Almighty is the giver of all things, but He loves to give the gift of eternal life. It's free. The Bible tells us that we've been separated from God because of our sins. There's a great gap, there's a great gulf between us and God because of our sins. And you can't cross that gap. You can't cross that gulf. The only way you can get across it is if you have perfect 100% righteousness and obedience to God. And you don't have that. For all sin that comes short of the glory of God. You don't have that. You can't cross it. The Bible says that Jesus Christ went to the cross, shed His blood there, died as your substitute. You should have died eternally. Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid the price for your sins. He will give you the righteousness you need to cross the gulf and get to God. The only way you're going to get there is through His righteousness. You can't get there any other way. You don't have it. Jesus freely offers you the gift of eternal life this morning by simply repenting of your sins, despising the idea that you can do anything to add to what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You can't. You can't. You can't add anything to that. You come to Christ, you come to Christ alone. Trust Him. He's your personal Savior. Repent of your sins. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that you stand with me, please, and R.D. is going to introduce our hymn for us, and then when he introduces, we're going to pray.
544.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house today and to worship you. We thank Heavenly Father for the blessedness of being reminded that you are indeed the source of all things, the Almighty God, the Creator of all things. You hold everything together by your power. We are here in this place at this hour, at this time, at this very moment, only because you are holding things together. Only because you are holding it together. Father, we do not in any way claim that we deserve anything from you, or that we are worthy of anything from you. By grace, we have everything that we can see and hold, that we count dear to us. Everything help us to look more fully, more completely at what we have, and see everything as a way to bless you, to name, to count our blessings, to truly count our blessings every day. Lord, make us more mindful of being grateful, of being thankful. It's so easy for us to get distracted with the cares, troubles, difficulties, misery of the world in which we live, the way the world is going, the culture. It's easy to get distracted by these things, to become fearful, afraid, uncertain. We don't need to experience any of those things. If we have a thankful heart, we're going to be joyful. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. We're not going to worry about the future. You're going to take care of that. You promised that you would. Lord, put in our hearts a deep, deep sense, an attitude of gratitude towards you and everything that we have. Lord, if there's one here without you, without Jesus, lost and undone, may your Spirit draw them powerfully through conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit and repentance and faith in Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.